Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
What a joy, always, Jennifer Garner. You know who is not one of my guests tonight? That's Texas State Representative James Tallarico. He was supposed to be here, but we were told in no uncertain terms by our network's lawyers, who called us directly, that we could not have him on the broadcast. Then I was told in some uncertain terms that not only could I not have him on, I could not mention me not having him on. And because my network clearly doesn't want us to talk about this, let's talk about this. You've probably heard.
So this, as a broadcaster, this is an incredibly fascinating story. So James Tallarico is a California state representative who's running for the Texas state representative is running for the U.S. Senate in Texas. And Stephen Colbert was going to have him on as an interview about his senatorial candidacy. And his explanation for not having him on is that the network told him he couldn't have him on. The reason is the equal time rule that the FCC superintends. Now, you may or may not know anything about the equal time rule, but as a broadcaster, it's important to know about the equal time rule as long as you're ever going to do anything related to political candidates. If you don't do anything with political candidates, you don't have to really worry about it because that's what it really applies to. This is not the fairness doctrine. Sometimes people get the two confused. The fairness doctrine is something that no longer applies in radio. That's the idea that you have to cover both sides evenly or fairly. But the equal time rule is the idea that if people are candidates for political office, you have to do things like if you give a rate for ads to one, you have to give the same rate to another who's a candidate. If you give time to one, you have to give comparable time to the other. That's the equal time rule. And there are some exceptions. We're going to get into the details because the details actually matter quite a bit here. So, again, Stephen Colbert on his show on Monday night was whinging and moaning. Another word comes to mind, but I won't say because I don't say that word on the radio. whinging and moaning that he wasn't going to be able to air the interview that he wanted to do with James Tallarico, this candidate for U.S. Senate in Texas.
So, you might have heard of this thing called the equal time rule, okay? It's an old FCC rule that applies only to radio and broadcast television, not cable or streaming.
That's because they don't use the public airwaves. They don't go over the air, so we don't, you know, radio and TV are special because we exist in a situation where we trade public benefit for no-fee access to the public airspace that we use the radio or the TV broadcast in. That's why the rule exists, okay? And that's the nature of our relationship. Newspapers, obviously, don't. Cable doesn't. It's not using airwaves. It's using, you know, a physical device, the cable. Even satellite doesn't use public airwaves in the same way, so they don't control that either. That's why you can have nudity and profanity on cable and you can't have it on regular TV, if that helps you understand.
That says if a show has a candidate on during an election, they have to have all that candidate's opponents on as well. It's the FCC's most time-honored rule right after no nipples at the Super Bowl.
Which, of course, got violated. Now, he's already telling you something false. I don't know whether he's too dumb, and Stephen Colbert is a very smart guy. I don't know whether he's too dumb about what the equal time rule actually says, that he doesn't know he's said something false, or whether he's lying. But it is not true that you must give all other candidates the same time. Listen to what he says here. This is very interesting.
It says if a show has a candidate on during an election, they have to have all that candidate's opponents on as well.
Not true. What the rule says is if you have a political candidate on and someone else asks you for equal time, you must say yes. You do not have to go out and solicit them. You do not have to offer it to them. But if they ask you, you have to say yes. And you do not have to have them on unless they've asked, in which case you do have to have them on. Now, we here at News Radio, we take it this way. I offer it. If I have a candidate on, I offer all the candidates because that's going above and beyond. But that's not actually required. If you have somebody on who is a candidate for office and you don't go out of your way and contact all the other bona fide candidates, you haven't done anything wrong. But if they contact you, you do have to say yes. So he's already got it wrong in his description. We continue.
There's long been an exception for this rule, an exception for news interviews and talk show interviews with politicians. Now, that's crucial. How else were voters supposed to know back in 92 that Bill Clinton sucked at saxophone?
and that's because he did a famous interview where he played saxophone. I think it was the Arsenio Hall show, if I remember correctly. Anyway, there's actually a third exception he doesn't mention. It doesn't matter for live breaking events. If you talk to a politician who's a candidate, you don't have to compensate for that. But he is right. He gets this correct that bona fide news interviews and is the main exception that's relevant. And so you don't have to give equal time for those because you're not interviewing the person as a candidate. You're interviewing them as a news item.
But on January 21st of this year, a letter was released by FCC chairman and smug bowling pin Brendan Carr. In this letter, Carr said he was thinking about dropping the exception for talk shows because he said some of them were motivated by partisan purposes. Well, sir, you're chairman of the FCC, so FCCU.
And then he put it on, you know, FCCU up on the screen. So. We'll come back to this in a second because there's more worth talking about here. Like I said, it's a very interesting. You've got to know enough of the facts in order to understand why Stephen Colbert is really mischaracterizing this situation in what I would describe as a lie, unless he's too dumb to know the difference. But we'll get back to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West Project. It evaluates on jobs created, wages paid, and generates a positive return on investment to Escambia County taxpayers. Let's see here. We've got, one accident on the book that just happened. I-110 northbound at mile marker number 3. Literally, that just happened. I'm not seeing any delays yet, but we'll keep an eye on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you have any kind of a home improvement project that you're working on and you need equipment, tools, you know, hammers, drills, screws, safety equipment, or just advice, you know, a lot of times you get ready to do something and it's going to be the first time you've ever had to do it. And so you think you know how, but maybe you don't know exactly. Well, you go to Pensacola Hardware. You buy your stuff there, but you also get the guidance. Ask them, hey, this is what I need to do. Is this going to work for me? And they'll say, yeah, that's great. Perfect. Or, maybe what you want to do is not buy the regular standard drywall screw for that, you know, fence project. What you want to do is use the ones that are coated, because those ones will not break down within, you know, a year or two because you're putting it into pressure treated lumber. Like, that's a thing that you may not know as an individual, but the hardware store knows that, right? So Pensacola Hardware, expert on that kind of guidance. Now, that's true whether you're just at the like home improvement side of things or whether you're really building things for a living. Even more so there. They have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. So they have been helping builders, construction people, you know, order specified products, get whatever they need delivered to the job site, just taking and giving you guidance on how to solve problems, how to comply with the codes, all of that stuff. They are your commercial construction supply business. So stop by today, ask them your questions, and kind of maybe celebrate the fact that they are 175 years in this business. This year is their 175th anniversary. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. All right, back to the little mini dust-up with Stephen Colbert, who is losing his job in 3 months and now is, you know, pitching a hissy fit over the FCC and CBS.
On January 21st of this year, a letter was released by FCC chairman and smug bowling.
Oh, I think I played that one. I'm so sorry. Okay, so it goes on about Brendan Carr.
Because I think you are motivated by partisan purposes yourself.
And by the way, I agree with him about that. Brendan Carr is a shill for Trump. I mean, he was forced onto the board by Trump, and he has been doing Trump's bidding and saying ridiculous things, even, you know, very partisan abuse of the power of the FCC that he's the chairman of. I actually agree with Stephen Colbert about that.
You smelt it because you dealt it. You are Dutch ovening America's airwaves. Let's just call this what it is. Donald Trump's administration wants to silence anyone who says anything bad about Trump on TV because all Trump does is watch TV. Okay? He's like a toddler with too much screen time. He gets cranky and then drops a load in his diapers. So
there's a lot of references to butt things in this particular segment, but and to some degree, I think it's true that Trump, you know, doesn't like criticism, and so he gets freaked out about it and tries to go and thwart it. Not always, and not as bad as some people characterize, but certainly in some cases, I think that's accurate.
Anyway, I decided to take Brendan Carr's advice. I am going to interview James Tallarico tonight, but it's not going to be on The Late Show. It's going to be on the Late Show's YouTube page. The network says I can't give you a URL or a QR code, but I promise you, if you go to our YouTube page, you'll find it.
So, because he had played a clip from Carr where Carr said, you know, if they want to do it on online, that's fine because we don't control that, but over the airwaves, we do control that. All right. Again, keep in mind, I'm saving my here's why Stephen Colbert is full of it for after we hear actually what he said.
Carr here claims he's just getting partisanship off the airwaves, but the FCC, as I said, is also in charge of regulating radio broadcasts.
Uh-oh.
And what would you know? Brendan Carr says right-wing talk radio isn't a target of the FCC's equal time notice.
Actually, what Carr said was
radio. No, I get this part. It makes sense. You can't get rid of talk radio. What else would your angriest uncle do in traffic? Talk to your saddest aunt?
Oh, I wish he could meet our audience. Anyway, here's where we get into the really, really bad comments that are, I mean, straight up lies, and I'll prove them. We're done.
Now, as I said, at this point, he's just released a letter that says he's thinking about doing away with the exception for late night. He hasn't done away with it yet, but my network is unilaterally enforcing it as if he had. But I want to assure you, ladies and gentlemen, please, I want to assure you this decision is for purely financial reasons.
That's funny. I'll tell you why that's a lie in just a second.
And
last
this doesn't
part.
Just affect interviews. The rules forbid any candidate appearance, including by voice or picture. That's right. I am absolutely not allowed to show a photo of Texas State Representative James Tallarico.
They were showing a photo.
And
but it wasn't actually of him.
Because that's not him. That's a stock photo we found when we Googled not James Tallarico.
Okay. I said it was a lie. Here's how it's a lie. The way you would, if I were the CBS lawyers, here's what I would have said to Stephen Colbert. You can have James Tallarico on as long as you also have his opponents on. Because then you're giving everybody equal time. It's what I would do in an interview season for candidates in a political season during an election. I would, you know, if this person's going to be on, you let all their opponents have time. And I will, unlike the requirement's not there for it, but I would ask them all and offer them a chance. Like sometimes we put people on the wrap, you know, different candidates for office on the wrap at different times. You know, we do this all the time. So you say, Andrew, well, where is the lie? Well, the impression you get from all of this that he has very carefully curated is that CBS forced him not to do the interview. CBS specifically told him, according to them, we gave them several ways they could have James Tallarico on as long as they did blank. And the blank is have the other people on, because that's exactly what would have complied with the law. There is no ban on having James Tallarico on the interview. It's perfectly allowed. CBS says The Late Show was not prohibited by CBS from broadcasting the interview with James Tallarico. The show was provided legal guidance that the broadcast could trigger the FCC equal time rule for two other candidates, including Representative Jasmine Crockett, who I'd be surprised that Stephen Colbert wouldn't want to interview, and presented options for how the equal time for other candidates should be fulfilled. The Late Show decided to present the interview through its YouTube channel with on-air promotion and on the broadcast rather than potentially providing the equal time options. Stephen Colbert is acting like the victim here, and he absolutely made a choice he did not have to make. He could definitely have had Tallarico on. He could have had the other candidates on and been just fine with it. That's what everybody in the known universe of broadcasting does every time there's an election. It's not a big deal. But he's characterizing this like some political attack, like CBS is against him, and he's lying in the process pretty vigorously, which is weird for a guy who, you know, I mean, he's losing his job in 3 months anyway, but it's a weird thing. Okay, so you might ask, well, Andrew, how does this work for your interviews? Because I'm sure people are curious. And I've had people ask me sometimes. Like, we have Jimmy Petronas on typically every Monday. We're actually having him on today at 7 o'clock in about 40 minutes because he couldn't make Monday. I have the mayor on every Wednesday. The mayor's up for reelection. He has opponents. How is it that you can do interviews with the mayor and with the congressman when both of them are up for election? Well, there's a couple of things. One is generally this rule applies more vehemently when you're closer to elections, but that's not firm. It's really if they're qualified candidates. And the answer is simple. It's a news interview. I do news interviews. When I talk with the mayor, we're not talking about his candidacy. When I talk with Jimmy, we're not talking about his candidacy. They are officials who are elected that have information that the public wants to know. I'm asking them questions in order to get that information out of them. That's a news interview. That is explicitly an exception of the equal time rule. Now, if I do an interview with DC that is a, you know, a candidacy interview, I will absolutely let the other candidates who are seeking to be mayor come on. And we may do that anyway. Okay. Same thing for Jimmy. You know, he's got challengers for this election. And, you know, if we ever do a candidate interview, then we will do that. That's literally what the rule says. In addition to news items, like it's kind of funny because Trump gets massive amounts. It doesn't matter now because he can't be reelected. We hope. But, you know, because second term limit. But Trump is the king of getting massive coverage in news media without paying for it. Earned media is what they call it, because saying outrageous things got him a lot of attention. And there is no requirement. You could air 15 minutes of Trump clips and not be obligated to air an equal comparable amount of Biden clips or Kamala Harris clips, or even when it was a primary situation, other Republicans, because it's a genuine news format. And that it doesn't apply to that either. So you have to know the rules. You have to play within the rules. And people misunderstand the rules quite a bit. That's why I wanted to explain it to you. And I do not know whether Stephen Colbert is dumb on the rules, many people are, or whether he is lying about them. But since CBS says they told him, here's what you have to do, and he came out and pretended that didn't happen, this notion that he unilaterally got told not to do the interview, I think is false, and I think he's lying. Which I hate to have to say, because I usually think that, you know, Stephen Colbert takes his Catholicism pretty seriously. He tries to be a man of integrity, even though I very much disagree with him a lot. So I'm kind of surprised. I mean, either he or CBS is lying. And if CBS is lying, that's a problem for them, but it also means Stephen Colbert doesn't know the rules either, which that's its own issue. 625 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. We're still dealing with one accident that happened on I-110 northbound between Cervantes and Jordan Street exit right there. So just be aware of that. That's got traffic completely stopped due to that accident. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
By the way, you've been broadcasting a long time. Anything I misstated or got wrong or you want to add about the equal time rule?
Nope. Right. You hit every single point.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
What if I told you there's money hidden in your home? Not under the mattress, not in the couch cushions, but real money waiting to be put to good use. With a home equity line from PennAir Credit Union, you can tap into your home's value for renovations, big projects, or whatever's next. No annual fees, no closing costs, just smart, flexible funding backed by a local team. Your home's got extra cash. Put it to work. Learn more at PennAir.org/home equity. Equal housing lender.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Oh, behave.
Good morning, 628, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. President Trump honoring the late Reverend Jesse Jackson yesterday, calling him a force of nature. He paid his respects after it was announced that he had passed away at the age of 84. Speaking of Jesse Jackson, planning underway in Chicago now to honor his life. He had started the Chicago-based Rainbow Push Coalition, which says funeral arrangements and a celebration of life will be announced here in the next few days. Apparently, actor Shia LaBeouf has been let out of jail. He was arrested during Mardi Gras festivities in New Orleans the other day. Police say the star got kicked out of the R bar in the French Quarter on Tuesday and apparently started fist fighting with a couple people as he was trying to get back into that particular establishment. So he now has a court appearance scheduled for March.
Also, Shia LaBeouf is sporting one of the weirdest facial hairstyles I've ever seen. He's got a full beard and a kind of, you know, villain from the, you know, Dudley Do-Right handlebar-ish thing going on.
I've
got to
look this up. I haven't seen a recent...
You got, I mean, look at it and tell me if I'm wrong. It's
okay,
got
is this the profile picture that pops up when you Google him?
Probably.
It's got, like, the real thick goatee and...
But then it's also got the little, the villainous kind of twisty mustache handlebar-y kind of thing going on, too. You're probably not looking at the most recent picture.
Probably not.
It's a weird one. But that's just me speaking out of jealousy because, you know, if you give me a year, I can't grow a beard.
So when you do a Google search and you click images, he has a full array of odd facial hairstyles.
Yeah, there's a lot of experimentation going on with that. David, thanks so much for the update. 6:30 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, hey, I told you I had tickets to give away for Pensacon. So let's give away tickets to Pensacon. Caller number 2-437-1620. Two gets a pair. Two gets two. For this weekend, full weekend passes for Pensacon coming up this weekend at the Bay Center. And it is always a good time. Call now, 437-1620.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Six skiers are rescued, nine missing after an avalanche near Lake Tahoe in California.
It's in a mountainous area. It's very limited visibility. It's, you know, hard to access.
Nevada County, California Sheriff Russell Green. There's some progress reported at a U.S.-Russia-Ukraine peace talks in Switzerland.
Ukraine's president, though, claims President Trump is exerting undue pressure on his side to agree to a deal. Volodymyr Zelensky telling Axios it's not fair that it's Ukraine, not Russia, which is being told to make concessions, adding that Ukrainian voters won't accept Russia's demand to take over the entire eastern Donbass region. President Zelensky, though, thanking President Trump for his peacemaking efforts.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 63 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies here this morning. Nice warm start to our day. Brooke Richardson will have our full forecast. That is up in just a few minutes. An Alabama sheriff's deputy was injured during a high-speed chase, but he's now back home and recovering this morning. Monroe County Lieutenant Corey Morrow crashed on Highway 21 while pursuing a murder suspect yesterday. Because of weather conditions, a medical helicopter was reportedly not able to fly. Samaro was taken by ambulance to Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola with a full police escort. Deputies from the Escambia Sheriff's Office met the ambulance in Atmore and escorted it the rest of the way to the hospital. The sheriff says that Morrow suffered minor injuries. He's been released and is now recovering at home. The suspect was later captured in Greenville, Alabama. The chase reportedly topped 100 miles per hour. In Santa Rosa County, a Texas truck driver was found dead in his semi on I-10 yesterday afternoon. The Florida Highway Patrol says troopers responded to a welfare check near mile marker 28 and discovered a 49-year-old man from Wharton, Texas, unresponsive in the cab of the truck. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Investigators say there were no signs of foul play. The case does remain under review. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says technology played a key role in catching suspects accused of stealing ATM machines from local stores. Simmons says it was Flock license plate readers that alerted deputies to a white pickup truck seen circling areas before thefts.
And we saw this white pickup truck that was circling the area. Both of these, I think they were Family Dollars, their ATMs were stolen. And then ultimately we put that information, that tag information in. Leon County pops up because they're part of this Flock network. Leon County pops up and says, hey, it looks like that they popped on one of our machines. So they start doing surveillance and basically catch them in the act.
And Simmons says the suspects likely wouldn't have been identified without having the Flock cameras in place. He said that with evolving technology, people need to assume that they're being recorded whenever they are in public spaces. Of course, this comes after there's been a lot of public opposition to Flock cameras for privacy concerns at recent public meetings. Florida Senator Rick Scott is working to build support for the Save America Act. He was in Miami promoting the bill the other day. The bill would require voters to show ID before casting a ballot. He says the proposal is designed to make it easy to vote, but hard to cheat. And in Valparaiso, firefighters finally back in their fire station after months of dealing with mold issues. Fire Station 12 shut down in mid-2025, forcing crews to temporarily operate out of City Hall. Interim Fire Chief Alex Kukula says that the recent cold snap made it critical to get their fire engines back indoors. Most of the first floor had to be gutted to remove the mold contamination. The city's approved $225,000 for renovations, including a new HVAC and roof repairs. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's check in with John Pickens, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with the accident that happened on I-110 northbound between Cervantes and Jordan Street. Traffic is very, very slow. First responders have just got on the scene there. It's down to one lane, but I'm starting to see traffic back up almost to Cervantes, so be aware of that. Other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
We are going to be looking at a nice warm day today with temperatures warming up into the 70s for your afternoon high. 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, 30% chance of a stray shower, high near 76. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64 degrees. Heading into Friday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 63 degrees right now. It is mostly cloudy. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports that the average contract interest rate for a 30-year mortgage decreased to 6.17% from 6.21%. Applications to refinance a home loan rose 7% for the week and were 132% higher than the same week 1 year ago. Treasury yields edged higher this morning as investors anticipated the Federal Reserve's meeting minutes and key inflation data. The 10-year Treasury yield rose over 2 basis points to 4.075%, and the 30-year Treasury bond yield was up 1 basis point to 4.7%. NVIDIA is expanding its partnerships in India, including with venture capital firms, as it bets on the country's AI ecosystem that has drawn massive big tech investments. The company said it is working with several venture capital firms, including Peak XV, Z47, Elevation Capital, and more. Futures are moderately higher. On Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 198. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local, dependable.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
So, when your gut tells you that somebody has been defrauded, you should have reduced that lien, at the very least. I am appalled, and the next time you do favors for the rich, the powerful, and the well-connected, I want you to remember this case.
So Sherry Myers, former city councilwoman Sherry Myers, was speaking at the very end of the Pensacola City Council meeting about what case? Well, I'll explain. Let's back up. That's the end of the story. Now, 2 days prior, as the TV shows always want to do for you, but, you know, 45 minutes earlier, a woman named Everly Elliott shows up to ask for a reduction in the penalties that she's being forced to pay on an outstanding lien against her property created by code enforcement costs from the city and then a daily fine for not complying with that code enforcement cost by a prior owner of the property that was not disclosed to her when she bought it with a quitclaim deed.
I purchased the property through a realtor, closed at an attorney's office, and was never made aware of any kind of lien on the property. My hope was that the property could be rehabbed for my grandson, who was graduating from Arizona State and was hoping to come to Pensacola to continue in UWF.
So her grandson's going to come here. She's bought a house inexpensively that she wants to fix up because she's fixed up other houses in the area. And all of a sudden she discovers there's these giant liens against this home that she bought, not realizing that, because she thought if I use a realtor and a lawyer, I should be fine.
The little house is dry. I've kept the grass cut. I became aware of the lien and I was flabbergasted. I didn't know what to do with it. I still don't know what to do with it. He has since decided to stay in Arizona.
So now she doesn't even need the house.
And I don't know what to do with this. I have in the past saved several old houses in Pensacola and was hoping I could do this one for him.
All right. So this is a very common kind of request that people come more often to the county commission with, which is, I suddenly discover that I've got liens or somehow I cannot sell the property. There's some fine been accruing or something, and I'd like you guys to reduce it because, you know, it's exorbitant. It's a lot. And in this case, it is a lot. I'm not telling you the amount just yet because I want you to gasp when you find out, but we're getting there. I'm walking you through how the meeting went. So Jen Brer, city councilwoman, asks the attorney, Adam Cobb, hey, is there some legal liability for them selling her this home without disclosing to her that had this big lien on it?
Is the attorney that sold this liable for not disclosing a lien?
It's a good question. So the deed that transferred title is what they call a quit claim deed.
Quit claim.
And that transfers whatever the seller has, if anything. So, in short, the answer is no. With that type of deed, you get whatever whatever is conveyed from the seller, meaning they're not representing that they have good title, they're not representing that there aren't any liens. You're willing to take whatever kind of title that they have.
A quit claim is like a no return sale, no warranty, no returns. You take it, you got it, as opposed to having other kinds of normal protections in a regular deed that would be involved, and you typically get a better price. Okay? So that's what happened. She got a quit claim deed, and Charles Baer is going to say, look, you didn't do your homework.
Really what happened here is that Ms. Elliott bought it and didn't do her proper due diligence. She didn't do a title search. She trusted whoever she was buying it from, I guess, that it was clear liens, and that's unfortunate, but it's not our responsibility. I don't usually fall on the let's grant the lien reduction side of things. In this case, the administration is not even recommending that. I don't think you mentioned that.
We're not.
The administration is not recommending a lien reduction on this one. And I agree.
Now, you know how you can, like, sort of be right but say it in a rude way and it becomes not... Charles, I mean, I guess this is as much sympathy as he's able to do, but he's kind of saying, well, I feel bad for you, you know, little old lady, but tough chickens, you should have done your work better.
It's unfortunate that you're in this situation, but when you buy a piece of property, there's certain steps you have to go through to make sure there's not an issue like this. And it is unfortunate, but I agree with the administration that I do not want to reduce the lien.
Casey Jones, also city councilman, says, is there not something, you know?
So the county owned this property at one point, right? Because of taxes.
Going up for auction.
Unpaid taxes.
Unpaid taxes went to the county.
And they sold it with these liens on it.
The county did not. Andala Enterprises bought it from the tax deed sale. They did the repairs needed, brought it into compliance, and then they sold it to Ms. Elliott after they got it.
So it is up to code now?
Correct.
Yeah, it's been brought up to code, so the fines are not accruing. It's been remediated, whatever, so it's fine. But the people who did that work surely would have known that there were fines, and because they were the ones who fixed it up after they bought it on a tax deed sale from the county because it hadn't had property tax paid on it in a while. So just worth knowing the history a little bit. And so Casey Jones says, I don't know, can we not reduce it a little bit? I'll get back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. Still dealing on the accident that happened on I-110 northbound. Traffic between Cervantes and the Maxwell Street exit. Traffic is backed up way past Cervantes right now as they're trying to move that out of the way so traffic can get started back again. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. By the way, speaking of home buying and selling, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are very, very good at this. And, you know, actually this case kind of points out a purpose that you want to make sure to use a good realtor who's going to do it, you know, a deed search and title search and make sure that a home is clear. And they obviously will and knows good lawyers and make sure the process is all done properly, someone that you can trust and count on. And, you know, Christina Leavenworth and her team sold 209 homes last year. Like, they know how to do this and make sure that it is done right, and they will. But also getting you the best price for your home, selling homes that other people have trouble selling. Why? Just a lot of different reasons. They just managed to make it work. There's a dedication to excellence, learning all you can, you know, possibly learn, talking to people, following up, doing all the little things that might seem like little things that everybody does, but they're not. Obviously, the results speak for themselves. Four homes a week on average, they're closing. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. All right, so Casey Jones, City Councilman Casey Jones says, can we not do something for her a little bit?
I don't know if anybody else would on council would be interested, but I would be interested in you know, discussing a reduction of fines or a reduction of the lien amount. I don't know how to tackle that yet. But.
So he wants to reduce it. Allison Patton, the president of the council.
I think the whole thing is very unfortunate. It's the reason that you absolutely should clear title and make sure that you do title searches, et cetera.
And so she's siding with Charles Baer.
But I do feel like I have to respect the process. I don't think there's really anything that we can do at this point or should do based on the analysis that I've been given by the code enforcement folks and the lawyers. And so kind of regretfully, I'm going to support not waiving the lien tonight.
All right. So that's kind of the buildup. Now, how much money are we talking about? Everly Elliott again?
I was understanding that there was like $25 a day interest accruing.
Well, it's not interest. It's a daily fine ordered by the magistrate.
Would it be a consideration to pay the original lien without the fines? So that
because there's an underlying, like, cost the city incurred for sending code enforcement out and for doing work on the property. And then there's that $25 a day fine that the magistrate put on top of that that had accrued. How much?
The liens for improvements, that was 11 trip visits from the city from 2014 to 2019. Those are $219 each. And that's totaling $2,629.
Okay, so $200 per visit, 11 trips, you know, $2,700, $2,600. Okay, that's the base amount, you might say, the hard cost that the city has incurred by dealing with this property.
And then the magistrate ordered fine. It was the, you know, total running from 2012 to 2019.
2012 to 2019. So that's 7 years, 365 days a year, $25 a day. Now do you understand? A base fine of $2,600 and then 7 years of $25 a day penalties.
Was $44,230.
44 grand for a $2,600 base fine. Charles Baer.
I think we're setting a really bad precedent if we do this. And every time we have something like this come in where someone doesn't do their due diligence, they come in and ask us for money. And ask us to forgive something that they could have prevented with the right steps that any of us up here know. If you buy a piece of property, there are certain things you have to go through, and they all cost money, but they protect you. In this case, this woman did not do that, and it's unfortunate. I feel bad for the fact that she's going to have to come up with this money or sell the property, and you know, I appreciate what you've done in the community with other properties, but there's a reason we have these fines.
Tough. Okay, there are times when I'm listening to city council meetings or county commission meetings or, you know, whatever, and they're talking about something, and I know something that from watching other meetings or other news gathering, whatever, that clearly the people who are on the dais discussing a thing don't know, don't realize, or are ignoring, and it drives me up the wall. Because if the members of city council had kind of ever, but at least much, watched Escambia County Commission meetings, this is actually incredibly common. People come to the County Commission all the time asking for penalty and lien relief. And the county, their habit is they have a very simple distinction between money the county has actually spent, hard costs, and money the county has not actually spent, but is considered a kind of a fine or a penalty or something like that. And those are the soft costs or the fines and the accruals. And so in this case, you have $2,600 of money the city has actually spent, and you have $44,000 of money that the city is charging that it hasn't actually spent that would be foregone income, you might say. And the way this always works at the county, almost every time, is if they believe the person is sincere, they will make them pay the hard costs and then waive all of the penalties. At least some of the penalties, half is a common number, all is a common number, but they're never just stuck, unable to do something. So at the city, they clearly have the authority to waive or reduce some of this stuff. Now, it is absolutely true that she should have done a title search. It's absolutely true that the former sellers, apparently, I mean, it seems like they would have known and they didn't disclose, but a quick claim deed is that kind of a situation. Should the lawyer or the realtor have known and said something? Probably. Okay. Is there anybody to sue? Maybe if there's a title insurance company, maybe you sue them. Okay. But put all of that aside. City council is in a position to do something kind. Because the $44,000 doesn't have to be 44 grand. It could be 22 grand. It could be 11 grand. It could be 5,000. It could be 400. I mean, they could do what they want with that because that's a judicially imposed fine. They didn't actually spend money to create that. They're not owed for that. So Casey Jones, who is kind of the hero in this situation, is trying to come up with something to do this woman a favor.
I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm going to throw out a motion to reduce these lien fees by 50%.
Second. And Delarian Wiggins seconds that. So that would cut down the 44 to 22. And honestly, if I'm sitting on this council, I'm cutting it farther than that. I don't know that I might go for a 100% fee waiver. You know, take out the entire $44,000. but at least cut it down to like something manageable, a few thousand dollars. It was 7 years of fines on the prior owner.
But the thing is, she didn't do it.
Right, she didn't do anything wrong.
If she would have done that,
yeah,
I get it.
Absolutely. If she's the property owner, if she engaged in, you know, but she was defrauded, and somebody says, well, you know, that's her fault for not doing a title search. No. Okay, but why are you inflicting it on her at this point for her oversight? I mean, granted, real estate is an at-risk proposition, especially tax deed sales, which this was sort of indirectly, but you have the opportunity to do something kind, and it is done all the time at the county. That's a very normal thing. So they had to vote on the move to reduce it by 22 grand.
And that fails 3-4.
And you had Delarian Wiggins and Tenya Day Broughton and Casey Jones voted to reduce it by half. Jen Brer, Charles Baer, Jared Moore, and Allison Patton voted not to reduce it by half. And then the follow-up was, well, are we going to deny any reduction at all? Like, are we going to approve her reduction of some kind, or are we just going to say, no, it's the full amount?
All right, that passes 5-2.
So that one passed 5-2. So now you had basically Casey Jones and Tenya Day Broughton were the ones who still wanted to do something, and the other five said, no, we're not going to do anything for her. So when Sherry Myers kind of comes at the end and pitches a fit and says, y'all are favoring the rich because you give them exemptions all the time and you didn't do something nice for this little old lady who, you know, typically little old ladies are the kind of person you're supposed to try to help, I'm with her. I maybe just they didn't know that they had this ability. Maybe they just haven't encountered enough of these cases to have a way of doing it. But like I said, this is so incredibly normal at the county. You see these cases all the time. And I don't know why somebody didn't say to them, you know, it's. I mean, like I said, Casey and Tenny Day and Delarian were trying to do this woman a solid of, you know, reducing it somehow. Even 22 grand, I think, is outrageous in the situation. Make her pay the 2,600. No problem. That's lost money. But do something. Do something. Again, I got to believe, because these are all, I mean, I know all these people. These are all good people. Okay? I just think they didn't realize how normal this was or have the situation in mind that we can really easily do this and it's not that weird. And yes, it would set them up for the future of, you know, being in a position that other people might ask. And that's fine. You can always tell them no again in the future or tell them yes again in the future based on individual circumstances. So a real whiff by city council. And unfortunately, it's going to cost this woman, I mean, either she doesn't pay anything and the house gets foreclosed and taken from her, or she finds, I mean, I don't know, she's not going to pay 44 grand, I wouldn't think, to make it happen. So the city's not going to get this money anyway, I wouldn't think. Unfortunate, really, and, I mean, disappointing, honestly. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Very disappointing. Sorry. Let's see here. I-110 northbound between Cervantes and the Jordan Street, Maxwell-Jordan Street exit. The traffic's starting to move just a little bit, but it's still slow and go. It's backed up almost to Cervantes, so just be aware of that. I-10 around Highway 29, I-10 eastbound around Highway 29 exit, seeing just a minor slowdown. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody else texted and says, why didn't the city pursue these fines for 7 years against mm-hmm. the owner at the time, too?
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbary Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbary Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's another gallery night party in downtown Pensacola. But move to around Plaza Ferdinand, Government, and surrounding area due to construction on Palafox. Enjoy the art vendors, music, food, and the fun of the Pensacon theme. Saturday, check out the Palafox Market from 9 till noon. North Palafox will be filled with farm fresh produce, plants, baked goods, and more, with over 200 vendors. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins.
MVR.
Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Do you exercise?
Yes. Love making and woodworking.
Do you have any history of mental illness in your family?
I have an uncle who does yoga.
Allergies?
Cowardice and weak-willed men. And hazelnuts.
Uh, He's the best. 658 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg will take the stand today in that landmark trial against social media. The plaintiff is a young woman who sued TikTok, YouTube, and Meta, claiming she became addicted to the social media sites as a child and has experienced anxiety and depression as a result since.
I'm going to love hearing Mark Zuckerberg explain how, oh, no, we didn't deliberately design this to be captivating, enthralling, and addictive at all. If only people's noses could grow.
We designed it to be boring. That's right. The Vatican says that it will not be participating in President Trump's Board of Peace. The peace initiative started by the president last month is designed to oversee the rebuilding of Gaza and to resolve other global conflicts.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next hour, Mayor D.C. Reeves at 7:40, as usual, and a little bit out of the normal time slot just because of travel stuff. Jimmy Patronis, our congressman, up next.